Alfie and Charlie at breakfast.
BBC Newcastle, radio for the North East.
MPs are going to debate a private members' bill today on whether to legalise assisted dying. It's being put forward by the Labour MP, Rob Maris, who's continuing where Lord Falconer failed with his private bill in the Lords in the last Parliament.
It would allow doctors to prescribe a lethal dose to terminally ill patients judged to have 6 months or less to live and who request that dose. Currently, assisted suicide is illegal. Under the Suicide Act 1961, it's punishable as well by up to 14 years in prison. Let's speak to Guy Opperman, the Conservative MP for Hexham.
Good morning.
You'll be voting in favour of this change, Guy.
Yes, I'll be voting very strongly in favour. I believe that it is time for a change, and I am angry because I, who suffer from a brain tumour, and some of the other people who have got in the past had terminal illnesses, have not been able to end their life in the way in which they wish to end their life, surrounded by their friends and family in their home. Some of you will have known Geraldine McClellan, the former BBC TV producer. She founded Newcastle's Life Theatre. She took her life at Dignitas in Switzerland in December 2011. Following a long battle against cancer. She did that, but before she did that, she wrote that she was not sad that she was going to die, but she was sad that she couldn't die in the country and the home that she was born in, surrounded by her friends and family. She was required to, by the law that presently exists, pay a large amount of money to drive across Europe and end her life in a light commercial industrial estate in somewhere in Switzerland. And the reality is that we have one law for the rich and not one law for the poor. Because it cannot be right that those who can afford to can end their life as they choose, but those who cannot afford to are forced to end their days in suffering when it is their desire and expressed wish that they should end their life in the way that they wish to do so.
Is this just a slippery slope, though, to euthanasia?
It's a great cliche, but I can assure you, no, it's not. The reality of the situation is that we've gone to extreme efforts to ensure that the present law that is proposed is very, very strict in its safeguards. So you require two doctors who have to certify that the person has an expectation of death within 6 months. That process is then administered and overseen by a High Court judge. So you have to physically get it approved by a High Court judge. He obviously is independent. And the person themselves has to administer it, and there has to be a written expression that this is what they wish to do. I think you cannot imagine a more stricter bunch of safeguards than that. It is to deal with the situation. As I say, I had a
brain. But one of the caveats there is is based on prognoses, and doctors do get this wrong.
Yes,
two doctors could get that wrong. Just look at Al Megrahi. He was meant to only live a couple of weeks. He lived for a couple of years.
But here's the point, though. The original draft was for a year, but on discussion with the House of Lords last year in Lord Falconer's bill, they took it down to 6 months. Of course, a doctor cannot be certain, and you and I know that has to be right, and every doctor knows that, but there has to be a reasonable expectation based upon the evidence that you are going to pass away within 6 months. Now,
but the Royal College of Physicians, the Royal College of GPs, they're opposed to this. They're the expert doctors.
Of course. No, they're opposed to this because, let's distinguish, Charlie, I'm afraid there's a very big distinction. They're opposed to this because fundamentally doctors are there to save life. Everybody understands the Hippocratic Oath. But they are not opposed to this, and neither are many clerics and many doctors, because it is perfectly right and proper to discuss how we end our days. And it is perfectly right and proper, whether you talk about the Liverpool Care Pathway, whether you talk about the way in which people choose not to be administered medication at certain stages at the end of their life. This already happens to a lesser or greater degree. What this requires and is going to give is a proper safeguards so that somebody has greater control over their life and the end of their life. You have rights in this life. And you have a right to life, but I believe you also should have a right to personal autonomy, to dignity, and you have a right to the death of your choice. This is about choice, and this is one of the...
And choice is more important than valuing human life, which
no,
is, you know,
Charlie,
the view of many religious leaders.
Now, Charlie, that's beneath you, frankly, because I know you're restating what a religious leader has put to you, but I am a Christian. I go to church. 80% of churchgoers are in favour of the Dignity in Dying campaign. You can be perfectly properly very Christian or very supportive of life, but you can also discuss and agree that there has to be a better way in which those who wish to do so end their life. And I find it ironic that George Carey, the former Archbishop of Canterbury, has come out very strongly in favour of this. And there is a churchgoer who is the leading cleric in the country who is very supportive. So there is. I will never convince the Catholics, I accept that, and I will never convince everybody. But at the same stage, this is about having the death of your choice. And because it comes down to one question, to whom does our life belong?
Is that a question you asked yourself, Guy?
Oh, of course. I was, as you know, in April 2011, I collapsed with a meningioma. That is a type of brain tumour that, if untreated, would have killed me. I spent 3 weeks in an NHS hospital, and the people in the ward around me, not everybody survived, either before my operation or after my operation. And I contemplated the fact that in that operation, I could potentially lose, obviously, my eyesight and my sense of touch and feel. I could have suffered a significant disability, and I was could have been left exceptionally compromised. And I considered and created a living will, and then very much discussed after the event, when fortunately I was able to make a full recovery, the way in which I would wish this matter to continue going forward, because I do not want to be in a position where some of the people I knew in hospital, they wished to end their life, but they were not able to do so.
We're very tight on time, but I just, on what you said there, there are many people who are living right now full, flourishing lives without their sight and with various disabilities, who didn't know what it was like to not live a life like that. Are you not demeaning them?
No, not in the slightest, and they fully accept that. And I've met with many, many such organisations and many of the patients who
I just don't want to join them.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that at all. That's unfair. What it is that you should have the right to choose the type of life that you wish. Everybody would then address the situation that they were particularly in. But at the same stage, if it is the case, as happened to many of the patients I knew, that you are heading towards a very, very painful death, and then no one is knocking the palliative care that is available, but you, if you wish to end that, surrounded by your friends and family, whilst you have some degree of cognitive state, I think that is a far better situation to be in, and something that I will be strongly voting for.
Thank you very much, Guy. Guy Opperman there, the Conservative MP for Hexham. You can always have your say. 0191 232 6565 on the phones. We're a little late for the news.